This is the National Conversation with All Things Considered. I'm Ari Shapiro. While many Americans have been sheltering at home for more than a month now, there is no precise timeline for when the nation will start to open up again. Whenever leaders have set concrete end dates, they have often had to push them back. Many of you are asking how we begin to get back to some kind of normal, and to help answer those questions, Dr. Caitlin Rivers is with us. She's an epidemiologist at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Good to have you here.
Thanks so much.
So much of this question about when the country should reopen depends on testing capacity. So let's start with a question from Kathy Jackson in Birmingham, Alabama, who asks, what is being done to increase testing, and when do we anticipate we'll have the capability to run the necessary tests in order to restart the economy? We've been asking a version of this question for weeks. What is the latest on why testing is still so limited, Dr. Rivers?
Yeah, our minimum goal is to be able to test everyone with COVID-like symptoms, not just people with severe illness. And testing capacity has increased a lot in the last few weeks. And we're now up to about 1 million tests a week, but we've only run about 3.5 million tests total. So that tells you we haven't been at that volume very long. Some states seem to have a lot of tests, like New York has run hundreds of thousands, but in other places, that's not the case. So we haven't been, the answer is that it's going to vary a lot from place to place, and we don't appear to be there yet.
Now, you say the goal is to test everyone with COVID-like symptoms, and our next question is about people who are not showing symptoms. Let's listen.
Hi, this is Peter Johnke from East Callis, Vermont. My question is about doing this mass testing. I've understood that the test isn't real accurate if somebody isn't showing symptoms. So I'm not quite understanding how this would really help us know how widespread the coronavirus is. Can somebody explain that? Thanks.
So Dr. Rivers, if people without symptoms are spreading this disease, you would think asymptomatic people would have to be tested in addition to those with COVID-like symptoms, right?
So the test is pretty accurate overall, but it's true that the test that looks for active infection is less accurate when the viral load is low, which means when people are only mildly sick or don't have any symptoms at all. So our confidence in the results are not as high when someone doesn't have symptoms and doesn't have a known exposure. But that's really just one of the problems with the idea of mass testing. The other is that we don't have the capacity for it right now. That might be something we work towards, but we're not there yet.
All right. Well, if you have a question for Dr. Caitlin Rivers about reopening the country, send it to us at npr.org/nationalconversation or ask on Twitter using the hashtag NPRConversation. Let's hear from another listener now who has a question on a topic that you, Dr. Rivers, have spent a lot of time working on recently.
My name is Judith Stein-Farrell. I live in Altamont Springs, Florida. I would like to have someone start explaining to us the steps the municipalities should probably be taking as we emerge from the isolation. For example, when do municipal offices start staffing again? When do restaurants start serving limited amounts of people in their spaces? When can non-essential businesses start opening up? Malls, amusement parks, zoos, and the like. Thank you.
There is a lot in that question, and Dr. Rivers, I know that you put out a report today looking at some of these questions, so let's break this into steps. We've talked about testing. What else is needed for the U.S. to take the first step towards reopening?
Yeah, so my colleagues and I have outlined 4 criteria that we would want to see before states move towards reopening. So this is thinking more about what capacities do we need to have in place. The first is that we need to see declining incidence, which means we want to see the number of new cases decline steadily, we say for at least 2 weeks. Some places might be on that downhill slope now, but unfortunately other places are still on the climb. So that's the first capacity. The second is enough healthcare capacity to treat everyone safely, which means enough hospital beds, enough ventilators, and enough personal protective equipment for our healthcare workers. The third is testing, which we've talked about. We want to be able to test everybody with COVID-like symptoms at minimum. And the last capacity is around public health. So when we move away from everyone staying home, we need to do contact tracing, which is where people who have been in contact with someone with a confirmed case are notified and asked to stay home. That takes a lot of public health personnel. And so we need to have enough people to do that as well. Those are the 4 capacities.
Okay, so those are the four capacities. And we've heard, just this week I interviewed Governor Jay Inslee of Washington State, who was talking about hiring hundreds of people in the state to do that kind of contact tracing. So as that gets stood up, let's go to the next part of Judith's question, where she asks about offices and restaurants. When could places like that, which depend on smaller gatherings of people, begin to open back up?
Yeah, each state will have to decide how and when to open. But in general, places that can implement physical distancing, which is staying at least 6 feet apart, ideally, or having some sort of barrier, either naturally or through restrictions, like not letting as many people in, those kinds of places will be on the list to open earlier, I imagine. So I don't know when that will be, maybe next month in some communities, but for other communities, it may still be further away.
And what's the difference between the standard for those kinds of places to open up and the other kinds of places Judith mentioned in her question, like amusement parks and zoos, where hundreds or maybe even thousands of people would gather all in one place?
Yeah, places with crowds will be later on the list. The timeline for that is really hard to say. I think malls and amusement parks have the advantage of being fairly spacious, so you can imagine physical distancing might be possible. But really crowded events, I think, is still a ways off, like months.
I'm thinking of like a pro sporting event or a symphony concert hall where people are squeezed in really tightly. Probably a long ways off still, huh?
Yeah, we would want to make sure that our communities are very safe before we consider those activities. So I don't think it's soon on the horizon.
The White House released its own guidelines on when to reopen the country. This came out yesterday. How does their approach compare to what you advise?
Yeah, so both plans or proposals use phased approaches, which is great because I think it recognizes that we can't just flip a switch and have everything go back to normal. We're going to need to take it step by step. And both plans recognize that we need to make a couple moves when it's time and then wait and see what happens. We don't want to make too many moves in a row and then find ourselves in a tight spot. So both plans propose opening a few things, lifting a few restrictions, and then waiting for 2 or 3 weeks to see what happens in the data. And both plans also recognize that we'll really need to see the number of new cases come down before we can start any of that process.
You know, this week I also interviewed the governor of Missouri, and he said our urban centers are having a problem with infections, but our rural areas are not, so maybe we can open up the rural areas sooner. But people move around. People aren't static, right? So can you imagine travel restrictions or quarantine requirements if you cross state or city lines when things do start to open up?
There's not a lot of precedent for that in the United States, so it's difficult to say, but I think it would be hard to imagine. You mentioned rural areas. I think that it's true that some rural areas have lower incidence, which is great, but they also tend to have lower capacity. And so I think that needs to be balanced in as well.
All right. Well, we're talking with Dr. Caitlin Rivers, an epidemiologist at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. And if you have questions about the spread of the disease and reopening the country, go to npr.org/nationalconversation, or you can ask your question on Twitter with the hashtag NPRConversation. We're going to take a short break. Dr. Rivers, please stay with us.